This is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. A new study from UT Austin and SMU argues humans have caused earthquakes throughout Texas for nearly a century. The paper published today in the journal Seismological Research Letters concludes activities associated with petroleum production likely set off 59% of earthquakes across the state between 1975 and last year. That includes recent quakes in Irving and Dallas. Oil and gas activities possibly triggered another 28%. 13% of the quakes were considered natural. Study also said wastewater disposal from hydraulic fracturing or fracking triggered most of the state's earthquakes since 2008. The Texas Railroad Commission regulates the oil and gas industry. It dismissed the study's methods as arbitrary. Members of the state Senate Finance Committee have promised to tighten up emergency leave rules for state employees. That follows reports of State Attorney General Ken Paxton and other agency leaders using those rules to compensate outgoing employees. State employees don't get severance pay when they're fired or take a new job. But the Dallas Morning News reports Paxton granted emergency leave to at least three top officials in his office after they resigned and kept them on the state payroll for months. Emergency leave typically goes to employees who have a death in the family or other crises. Agency heads also can grant it to employees who show good cause for taking the leave. Since 2013, the State Agriculture Department has granted the most emergency leave per employee. Now to breakthroughs in the latest in health science and technology. Today, the science behind protecting art. It's not just about using velvet ropes and security officers. A chemistry professor with UT Dallas has been working with art museums in North Texas on how to best preserve art. David McPhail talked with KERA's Justin Martin about his approach.
You're using something called ion beam mass spectrometry. How can it help conserve art?
In museums, generally speaking, things are changing very, very slowly. And let me give you a specific example, which would be vessel glass. I did quite a bit of work on glass from Venice and other places, which was hundreds of years old. And the rate at which that material interacts with the atmosphere and the moisture in the atmosphere is so slow that it's imperceptible to the human eye. But over hundreds of years, we can build up millimeters of degradation on the surface. So because things are so slow, we need techniques which have incredibly high precision. And the ion beam mass spectrometry has the ability to look at the surfaces of materials with a precision of 1 nanometer or less.
So let's say you've uncovered how a certain sculpture or piece of artwork is going to break down. What do you do next?
What we would normally do is to look at what is the mechanism that's leading to the change in the surface? And oftentimes it's the obvious things. So it's moisture in the atmosphere, it's oxidation, it's dirt in the atmosphere depositing on the surface and blackening the object. One of the techniques I'm very interested in is laser cleaning, where we take a low-power laser and we actually fire that at the object and it couples with the dirt, and the dirt's ablated, but it leaves all the statuary material behind. But then it turns out that actually sometimes dirt's quite good because it goes into the pores and the cracks on the surface of the sculpture and sort of blocks them up. And if you clean it, you open up those pores and cracks again. And guess what? It gets dirty really quickly once again. Sometimes it is a good idea to actually think of putting some sort of lacquer or some sort of barrier film on top of the object to preserve it from further attack.
What are museums doing now to preserve what's in their collections?
The environment itself is extremely carefully controlled in terms of temperature and humidity and levels of illumination for objects that are light sensitive. If you go into the Dallas Museum, for example, you see that certain rooms have relatively low levels of illumination where that's important to preserve the objects, such as the textiles there. Most museums of any size will have a conservation laboratory where they have a team of people working on all sorts of different approaches for the vast range of materials that are in the museum.
Now, with the Dallas Museum of Art, you're working with Andean textiles, correct?
We're fascinated by the fact that the colors in these textiles can persist with extreme brightness for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the question behind that is, how did they know what they were doing so well and how did they choose the dyes so well to maintain that level of quality. And that's one of the key research questions.
So through this preservation process and preserving the Andean textiles, you can also uncover how exactly they lasted so long.
Some of the projects we're looking at are mainly to do with understanding how the objects were produced in the first place. It's very unusual for the recipe to be written down. Sometimes the recipes were secret for trade reasons. So it's a bit like forensic science. We have to go back and try and understand, and sometimes we try and replicate the processes that people were using to make, for example, those Andean textiles. And then the second thing we don't know is what the history of the objects has been in terms of, have they been in display? Have they been in a trunk? There's a great deal of unknown around the production of objects and how they've been stored and presented over the years.
What else? What other arrows do you have in your quiver?
There is a sort of bewildering array of techniques that one can use to understand the atoms that make up the object and how those atoms are interacting with their environment. No single laboratory can have all those different techniques. And this is one of the reasons why I've been reaching out to lots of different labs around Texas. And one of the places I want to go to, actually I haven't been to yet, is to go to the police and visit their forensics lab, because I'm sure they've got a lot of techniques there for analyzing minute amounts of material, which will be highly relevant to conservation science.
David McPhail is a professor of chemistry with UT Dallas. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
Finally, a note, the ramp from the Sam Rayburn Tollway to southbound I-35E is still closed due to a tractor-trailer fire earlier this morning. The fire's out, but cleanup is expected to last through the morning rush hour. And the forecast, 40% chance of rain through tonight with a high around 70, overnight low around 60. Tomorrow, an 80% chance of rain. Temperatures should reach 68.